Welcome to the Launch with Words podcast with your host, Bridget Willard. We're going to talk about all things content, blogging, articles, videos, whatever has words and goes on your website.
Hey, thanks for joining me. This is season 2, episode 9 with Hasheem Warren. When I first started following you, Hasheem, is that how you say it?
Yes, Hasheem, perfect.
Hasheem. Yes. When I first started seeing you on Twitter, you had Slayer of Words, and that has just stuck with me so hard. I mean, I want to describe you as a writer, but I know that our self-identity evolves. How would you like to introduce yourself?
Bridget, I am 100% a writer. I am a writer through and through. So that's taken different forms over the years. I started out when I was a teenager. I wanted to be a novelist and just travel the country, sitting in bars, you know, writing the great American novel, watching people go by. Then that morphed into myself becoming a journalist. And then from a journalist, became a copywriter. And then from a copywriter, started running, marketing teams in general. But then I learned how to code and decided to become a product marketer, which requires a lot of writing. So now I joke and I say that some days I write copy, some days I write code. So my current job, I'm not writing code for the job, but our product is a developer product. So I need to write code to actually use the product. So I've been a writer since I've been a teenager. So that is my self-identity. I am a writer.
That's awesome. I love that. And it's interesting because the way your brain works, when you're writing any language, it's writing, you know? Yes. So like I was at this jazz concert this weekend, and I was just in so much in love with it. And of course, I was one of like 10 people there. They always say jazz is the music for musicians, but the people who play music are using the right side of their brain, but the people who are composing right. live are using the left side and the right side. So it's that's interesting part of who we are, and writing code is still writing. I know in WordPress, we say code is poetry. But right. it's communicating, right? It's either you're wanting the computer to do something, so you have to tell it what to do. And if you don't tell right. it what to do clearly, it will not work.
Right. And also, if you write code well, you're writing for your future self and also for your coworkers. You want to write in a way that's clear what this part, this component, this function is actually doing. So there is an art to writing well, even when writing code, because it's not just for the compiler, it's for the human. And also, I find that particularly with building a website, it's easier to write the code for the website if you have content to start.
Yes.
So I have my side project where I've decided I just want to write a newsletter for a few months. And then I want to figure out, okay, what custom post types do I need? What components do I need on the front end? I want to do that after I figured out, you know, what's the content I want to make. So, if I worked on a team and I was just a developer, I would have to work with the content editors that way. Or if I was a content editor, I would have to guess at which, you know, let's say custom post types I need, and then later annoy the developer with, you know what, we really need this change. Instead, right. I get to be the same person, the two people on one, and work with myself that way.
Well, that goes with your novelist the kind of analogy in your beginnings. I'm currently reading Jack Kerouac's On the Road, the original scroll, and there are no paragraph breaks. There are no chapters. I just got to the part where it says book 2, and it's just a caps, but it's still in the line. I mean, they call it the original scroll because it's just a brain, what we would call now a brain dump.
Right.
You know, and he's just writing. And you can't stop reading it because it's so exciting the way he moves you through this journey. And I'm like, wait, I have work to do. Like, sorry, Jack, I can't read this anymore. But like, so he would, you know, a writer would just write and then hand it in to a editor. They would like make suggestions on maybe moving this here or there. But when we're self-creating for our own purpose, it's kind of hard because we have to be all of those people. And I think in many ways, maybe you agree that for the small business owner, they're doing what we writers do is we're editing as we write, and then that stops the whole process.
Right. Right. That's exactly right. So even for me, it is easier for me to write marketing copy for a client than for myself because I am editing as I go.
Preach.
Because I'm thinking about the end while I'm at the beginning, because it's hard for me to do research. And it's also hard for me to think objectively about what's actually good about my service.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked for a CMS company that also did, it had an add-on service where it would do your web design. And I spoke to the designers and I said, okay, why are people buying the service? Because we want to write more copy for it, do some more promotion of it. And they said, because the designs are beautiful and because we make the site look really modern and you know, all these things like that. Then they told me that customers fill out a start to work sheet where they say, why do they buy the service? So I was like, oh, this is perfect. Let me go read those. And when I read them, you know, over and over again, a customer said, I could do this myself, but I just don't have time.
Yeah.
I don't have time to do it. So wait a minute. We are selling a productivity service that allows business owners to have the time that they want. And these were photographers specifically. So they were artistic people, but they just didn't have the time to use a drag and drop tool or Squarespace or anything like that. So if I was the designer, I would, even if I saw this research, I would ignore it. No, it's because of my beautiful designs.
Of course.
So it is very hard to write for yourself as a small business owner. And it is much easier to have a third party do it.
Yeah. I mean, the objectivity is so real. Like I find even for my own premium content packs for Launch With Words, I have a hard time. I'm just like, I'm too close. What don't you understand about why this is awesome? I don't get why you don't get it. Right. Because I only see it the way I see it. And I think that I did it for the pain points I see, but obviously I'm not communicating that. You know, because it is too close. And that is something that a lot of business owners, they're doing everything. They're doing their accounting, especially super small business. I started in, construction, being a secretary and all of that. And man, the owner was also the estimator, was also the project manager, was also the CFO, was also the CEO. Right. And I'm like, and you're doing your dad's accounting? Hire a bookkeeper for $18 an hour.
Exactly.
You cost this company too much to do this.
Right.
And I think that's a good way to sell that time component is, do you want to spend $200 an hour doing this, or do you want to hire somebody who that's all they do so that you can do those $200 an hour things?
Right.
So as far as websites go, like you and me, we're both like, you know, team WordPress, team internet. Let's put everything on the internet. What these small businesses that kind of like say, well, I have Instagram or I have Facebook. What's the compelling reason to be have your own website? To have your own domain name in your website, even if it's just WordPress.com.
Yeah, you know, so I've grown in one way with some advice I give to small business owners in this, and I've had a huge shift another way. So the way that I've grown is understanding that not all of their business has to transact through the website.
Right.
So I used to oversell the website as a part of the sales process. Now I've grown it, and I'd say your website is your recommendation tool. Even when you have great word of mouth, that person who's receiving that referral is going to look you up online. You want your story to be the first thing there. Okay, yes, you still want a direct call or what have you, and that's how most of your business transactions. It doesn't need to be a form. They don't need to pay online if that's not how you want to do business. But still, even if you are getting referrals, your website needs to tell that story. Or else you allow yourself to allow third-party services to tell that story. And it could be that one bad review on Better Business Bureau.
Yeah.
Or that one bad review on Facebook. And you don't have any time to explain your process, to explain your money-back guarantee, to explain your history, to explain your values.
Yeah.
Your website is where you do that. So even if you have a great social media presence, and also great referrals, you want that one place where it'll be the first place someone goes to move along your referral. So that's the way that, and again, I used to sell the idea of transact all of your business on your website. I would just overwhelm a business owner. Like, it should happen all here, and then we should have a funnel and all this stuff. And most people didn't go for that. A big shift I've had is that sometimes the web, now that we've taken away the website in terms of it has to do all these things, there's offline work that you should do that will have even a bigger impact than your website. So you have to have a website. You just have to.
Uh-huh.
But then after that, if you are a tree trimmer and you do a job, let's say at my house, what should happen next? I've been advising people to get a testimonial right there with the business owner, with a photo, and take the photo and actually have postcards made, which can be done easily online. Make a postcard with the quote, with the photo of the business owner who's happy, or the photo of the work that's really done well. And then use UPS, their service, their bulk mail service, to send that postcard to the 1,000 homes in that area.
Yeah.
So we haven't talked about a website at all yet.
Right.
And that could be you take one great testimonial, and you haven't even written your own words yet either.
Right.
You're just taking their testimonial, their photo that they've agreed to right on the spot. You sent it out to all their neighbors. Of course, with their permission. The next thing that's going to happen is that neighbor who's interested will go to your website.
Right. It's the direct mail website connection.
Exactly. So that website is extremely still important. But in the past, I would have talked about, generating, using the website and using SEO to generate interest from those neighbors who are looking. And then maybe they'll see that person, or using advertising to advertise to that area. And now it's actually easier for a business owner to have postcards made, take it to the post office, buy that service, which is pretty cheap, and have that postcard sent everywhere.
Yeah.
So
chicken and the egg. You know, it doesn't really matter the audience. Like, so I love this because, like, this is what I always say. People like, write for the persona and find that person first. And I'm like, no, just write like the comedy people do, and then your audience will find you. So like, if you send this picture out of Jack, who just had his trees trimmed, and you're like, oh, that looks good. I remember that. I drove by that house.
Exactly. Or I know Jack.
I
drove by the house. I know Jack. Or we have the same type of trees.
Yep.
Poplar
trees are always a problem or whatever.
Right. That person's like me. That image of Jack who's had his tree trimmed, of that normal person who's had his tree trimmed, is better than buying a stock photo of some beautiful person
that
is a model.
I love that.
So it's so my advice in terms of websites have evolved. Some parts are smaller in terms of where it comes in, and other parts I talk about how it needs to interact with your marketing offline.
Yeah.
And that's just a lot easier for some small business owners to wrap their minds around.
Yeah.
Also, another thing is when a successful job is the trigger for sending out marketing, it makes the workflow of the marketing a lot easier because a lot of business owners, including myself, whenever I'm running something online, it's hard to have that balance between delivering the work and also promoting yourself and promoting your business.
Yeah.
But what's really nice is when you're focused on kind of that offline marketing campaign I just talked about, a successful job triggers a promotion.
Yeah.
And that's it. And hopefully a flywheel effect happens.
Yeah. I mean, that is essentially off-page SEO. Like if you want to be all SEO about it, but it's just normal. It's a normal thing to do. Oh, you like this?
I'm going to write that down. Off-page SEO. I like that.
Yeah.
Offline SEO. I mean,
I know so many direct mail people and it works. It works when advertising works, when people know who you are. But that like me campaigns always work, which is why social media is so powerful and why case studies are so powerful.
Right.
And I know that your Twitter bio says you're a community organizer. I'm wondering how your marketing writerness, I mean, I want to talk about you as a person a little bit. Like, how does that all culminate? Like, can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. About 2 years ago, my wife and I decided that we were outsourcing our citizenship to organizations like our government, like our church, and like the companies that we work for, and with the thinking, oh, if I work for a good company, it'll do good for society. If I go to a good church, it'll do good for society. And we looked at each other and we said, what are we doing for our neighbors? Like, what exactly are we doing? And we decided that we wanted to use our interests, our gifts, and things like that to actually serve our neighbors in some way. So at the time, my daughter, she was doing a project where they were making signs welcoming refugees to Greensboro. And when I looked it up, I found that Greensboro has a rich history of being very welcoming to refugees. So I looked up the organization that had partnered with my daughter's school, and we decided to get to know that organization better and also to serve that organization. So because I am a marketer and because I'm a web developer, the first thing I did was build a website with a campaign to support these refugee families. And then I've built actually about three websites with different campaigns to support this organization. And one was a personal one that was a kind of a birthday campaign. It's my birthday. Please support this. Another one was kind of a multifaceted campaign with you can donate, you can volunteer, you can also advocate and write to your senator, and you can do these things. And here's the deadline, and you know, just all of my marketing tricks. It was really it was a little annoying to my wife. Like, you're overdoing this, but. We had a video created with one of the best video marketers I know, and just raised a terrific amount of money and got to celebrate it and have a party with the families there. And we also built a fence for the community center and raised money for that. And so we're actually working on something right now where the same company I just talked about, that CMS company that's located in Greensboro, we're working on a campaign where, this is so funny you asked about there, Bridget, because this is all coming together. That same do-it-for-you design service, we're creating grants so that people in the refugee community who are small business owners can get a free year of the do-it-for-you service.
Oh my God, I love this so hard.
Yeah, this is
reality. This is your beliefs becoming something concrete and actually putting back into a person who is a block in that community.
That's exactly right.
Oh my God, that is so cool. So I love that stuff.
No, I feel the same way. Like it checks all of my personal boxes in terms of. So I'm actually helping with the copywriting there.
Oh, cool.
They get a year of the service. After a year, we're going to ask them to participate in helping someone else get the grant. But also a fun fact is that immigrants and refugees, they have a very high rate of starting their own business in their new home country. So we're starting out with one. We hope to get to three, and we'll see where it goes from there. But myself as a marketer, myself as a web developer, myself as a former employee of this company, myself as a community organizer with this organization that helps refugees, it just ticks all the boxes. So yeah. I'm vibrating in terms of my interest there. So thank you for asking about that. But when other friends have asked about getting involved, I've told them it doesn't have to be like the things I'm doing are a little bit flashy because this is what I like as a marketer. I said, go knock on your neighbor's door and see if you can mow their lawn.
Yeah.
Whatever your thing is in your local community, it can be like that. It doesn't have to be, you know, what myself and my wife like to do.
Right. Like the tree trimmer could help elderly people once a month, they get donated tree trimming. You know, like I live in a poor neighborhood that's getting gentrified or whatever. And there's houses that I just think sometimes like they just need somebody to mow their lawn. Like how does that happen?
Right.
You know, and if I owned a landscaping company, I would do that. I mean, I would, find out who these people are. And or have somebody nominated, even better, ask my customers who could use this service as my way of giving back. Because all small businesses understand that if you don't have that involvement with the community, online or off, you don't exist. We don't do business in a vacuum because we don't live in a vacuum.
Right.
We're social animals. We're spiritual beings and we're meant to be with one another. And when we help others, it elevates all of humanity.
That's exactly right. And I learned about the word shalom recently and how it means kind of harmony and peace in a community and the fabric working together. And, you know, I use a service called Feely and I pay for like the advanced Feely service. And I did that for a newsletter that I have, but then I started to use it to track news in my community. Oh. I told Feely, I want to know about businesses that are serving the community too. And I try to amplify that on Facebook, where Facebook is where I'm connected to a lot of my neighbors. Unlike Twitter, where I'm connected to a lot of the WordPress community and the web development community and the marketing community. But I see this happening. Bridget, there was a moving company that they took 5% of their, they took $5 for every move they did the last month or two. And they gave that money away for Mother's Day.
Aww.
And there was news about another restaurant that, your meal pays for someone else's meal. It's a pay what you can restaurant in my neighborhood. I've always heard about those restaurants, but I was like, wait a minute, there's one in my neighborhood.
That's so cool.
Just so on and so forth. Like the war in Ukraine, a lot of businesses have been doing things to help that. And I said, you know what? If you are doing that, I'm going to try to give you as much free social media promotion as possible. So on my LinkedIn, on my Facebook, I'm going to talk about those stories. It's much nicer than talking about bad news that day or something like that.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, we went over, but I don't care. And it's my podcast. I could go over if I want to. But I love this because it just reminds me that good business is being a good human and the best marketing is caring about others.
That's awesome.
Right?
That's exactly right. That's awesome.
Thank you so much for your time. Is there any anything you want to promote? At the, you know, do you want people to find you anywhere or go to a website or check out?
Sure. Any of that? So on Twitter, you can find me at Hashim_Warren, H-A-S-H-I-M, and then _Warren. I also have a newsletter where we talk about some of the ways to give to your community called justiceyear.com. So Justiceyear is a weekly study on biblical justice. And okay. You can learn how myself and my friends we're stumbling through learning how to contribute to our community.
I love that. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bridget.
Thanks for listening to Launch With Words, a podcast by BridgetWillard.com. If you like this podcast, why not go ahead and share it with your friends, small business owners, peers, your brother. I really appreciate your attention. If you have any ideas, contact me on my website. Follow me at Bridget M. Willard on Twitter. And I hope to see you on the next episode or the next season.